Good morning, Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, kick back and relax. Let me tell you the story of the steam-powered excursion train that used to run out of Cottage Grove, Oregon, which is now a brand new bike path. See, until the 1980s, you could actually catch a ride on the Blue Goose, as it was called, up the Rao River past where Stand By Me was shot. That's the same railroad grade. Today, though, it's a 15.6-mile-long bike trail. Real nice one, too. Here's the story. At the east end of Cottage Grove, there's a little park by Mosby Creek. From this park, a magnificent bike path, a 10-foot-wide strip of high-quality asphalt, heads out of town to the southeast to Culp Creek, 15.6 miles up the Rao River from town. 25 years ago, a steam-powered passenger excursion train known as the Blue Goose chuffed up this bike path on a set of rails that was first laid in 1901. The switch from passenger-carrying railroad to bike path still draws grim looks from many Cottage Grove residents, especially those with experience in tourism-related enterprises, because, of course, the potential draw of a 31-mile steam train ride leaving from just off Interstate 5 and passing through scenes from three major Hollywood movies, that would be Stand By Me, Emperor of the North Pole, and The General, but mostly Stand By Me, because that one really hit it big. Well, that appeal seems obvious. The problem was, to take advantage of something like that, capital is required, and in the late 1980s, this little timber products town was really on the ropes. The Bureau of Land Management's Rails to Trails project was a bird in the hand, and any plan to preserve the goose was very much in the bush. And so the Oregon Pacific and Eastern Railroad spur ended nearly a 90-year run by becoming an exceptionally long, scenic, and gently graded bike path. The railroad did not start with any idea of hauling passengers. When it was first built, the original plan for the line, which was then called the Oregon and Southeastern, nicknamed Old Slow and Easy, you know, Oregon and Southeastern, O, S, and E, was to service the Bohemia Mining District, which was even further up the Rao River. By the time it was built, the mines were playing out, but the hills around it were thick with old-growth timber, so there was no danger of the line going idle. Mills and lumber camps and communities sprang up along the line. Well, even at the best of times, timber has always been an unreliable economic base. It's not as bad as mining, but it's still unreliable. Even minor recessions can halt the housing market and send a flurry of pink slips flying out of front offices, and so locals were probably pleased when Willis Kyle, in 1970, joined with a local mill operator, that would be the legendary Bohemia Incorporated, which is now defunct, to buy the line. Kyle was an experienced excursion train operator and had owned the Yreka Western Line in California, had owned it since 1956. Well, this was the start of the Blue Goose excursions. On weekends, the line to themselves, passengers got pulled by a Baldwin 282 steam engine. Engine number 19 on loan from Kyle's Yreka Western operation. 282, by the way, means that it has two leading wheels, eight big drive wheels, and then two trailing wheels. That's a very large engine. On weekdays, the diesel locomotives were used. But toward the end of the 1980s, Bohemia sold out to Willamette Industries. Willamette found it more cost-effective to truck all of its wood to a central staging point in Eugene before loading it on rail cars. Left to carry the full burden of the line, Kyle sold his share to Willamette as well in 1987, and that was the beginning of the end for the Blue Goose. Finally, Willamette pulled up the tracks and traded the right-of-way to the Bureau of Land Management in lieu of payment on a timber sale. The BLM was left with a graded path. No rails, no rolling stock. So, even if a deal could have been made with the BLM, it would have taken an enormous amount of money to bring the Blue Goose back from that point. New rails would have to have been purchased and installed. New rolling stock would have had to be obtained. And with the timber-based local economy in a slump that looked alarmingly terminal, there just wasn't much money to go around. So, after a deal was made with the Rails to Trails Conservancy, the old line became the new Rao River Trail. By the way, the Oregon Pacific and Eastern still exists. The name was bought when the line was decommissioned. The current OP&E runs a narrow-gauge line at Wildlife Safari, a sort of free-range drive-through zoo just south of Roseburg in Winston. Well, that's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. That'll be the complete catalog of about 195 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed, too, in case you'd like to join the conversation. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story. The sources for today's episode include the Bureau of Land Management, cottagegrove.org/trail, abandonedrailroads.com, and a book by Bill Sullivan. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis? Drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. This podcast is proudly offered under a Creative Commons license. For details, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Well, that's it for today. Our next episode is going to be coming out on Friday. That will be the story of the Cottonwoods Ballroom, a little country dance hall that hosted some of the most talented and legendary musical acts of the 20th century, including, according to a persistent local rumor that I have been unable to confirm, Elvis Presley. We're all pretty sure that Elvis never actually played at the Cottonwoods, that it's just a rumor, but it's a persistent one, and it's possible that we're all wrong. I have that story for you after about 6 a.m. on Friday morning, and in the meantime, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.